Hello, welcome to It's Not My Fault, Gucci Podcast Is Not Popular, episode 234. My name is Justin.
And mine's Helen.
Merry Christmas already? It really is Christmas, isn't it? It's just around the corner.
Almost Christmas means it wasn't Christmas.
It's very, it's just like this year just going, it's simultaneously going fast, but also slow at the same time in certain aspects, but mostly really fast. Yes, it has happened. Episode 234 of a podcast. We've been podcasting for so long. it's just we're gonna keep going somehow. We're gonna keep doing it. So it's just great. How you been, Helen? How's everything? How's life been?
I had a week, which really threw off any plans to watch more anime. So, you know, I don't have anything in this section. And Justin, we've got so much news to talk about. I'm not sure we've even got time for you to talk about manga, before we dive in.
Well, I'll keep it quick because over the past eons of years, people have been like, we need Kingdom.
I keep wondering how many people are actually fans of Kingdom. This has been an ongoing discussion in one of my group chats.
Yasuhisa Hara's Kingdom. It's been very acclaimed in Japan, super popular over there. Has never really taken off for various reasons.
It looks
the anime
ugly.
That came out, especially the first season of the anime just looks very bad.
and gave the manga. It a shot.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I thought that too, and then I read the manga earlier this week because on the Shonen Jump app, and I'm just like, you know, people are saying the art's kind of bad, and I'm like, you know what? Reading it, it's actually not bad at all. It's actually not that bad.
Really not. Hot takes to start.
It's really not. I think I was reading a review. What was it for? Was it Baki the Grappler? I think it was Baki the Grappler. Which
that one is also ugly.
Ugly-looking style, but then he also said that despite looking ugly, there's actually a way you could sell, like, the artist. I can't make it Baki. the name of the author, I'll tell my head, but the way it's drawn is actually conveys it very well. Like, you get all these types of works out there that draw, but not without any, like, conviction or certain, like, direction angles, but Baki executes that very well to that actually emphasizes the actual like fighting and everything.
The way I saw somebody describe Baki was that the artist actually does know how human bodies are supposed to work. He is simply going beyond that, but actually does understand how they're supposed to work on a fundamental level. And that suspect for Kingdom.
I actually think it works pretty well for Kingdom in that sense. Just to keep it short, this is a robotic story about two boys who want to be the greatest in China. This is Warring States China. It's very violent. Very violent time. As a fictionalized, obviously, China in the Warring States period. But sad news. Only one boy's going to make it. Duh. Not exactly saying how. But yeah, there's obviously early twist in very first chapter. But it sets off pretty much the greatest, supposedly the unification of China in this era. Obviously, it's a whole bunch of volumes, so it's going to take a long time before that happens. But no, for real, I was wondering what exactly has gotten people hyped about this for eons and eons, and especially why does Japan like it so much? So within on the Shonen Jump app, I gave it a spin, and I need volume 2. it's actually really engaging story-wise. Just from these two, the basic point is these characters are very much at the bottom of the totem pole, but they're gonna essentially grow due to just the fact that they're determined with their strength and everything. And again, there's a big twist that I can't say in here, so that at least draws me in. And again, the political machinations is what's also driving it too. There's just lots going on between this kingdom, not this kingdom, like these families and everything that actually works really well. So I'm just curious. There's just a lot that these the characters have to go through, and there's one character that shows up that also has to go through one thing, and he's really strong too. So it's like, okay, there's less intrigue here. I guess I'm hooked. Just by volume one, I would actually, especially if I showed Jump Out, at least say give it like first couple chapters for sure. But it worked for me. So there you go. Look, thanks, Viz. You actually got me. You got me here.
I'm shaking my head. I'm also shaking my head because I'm currently trying to fix some knitting as you're talking, and it's not going well, but...
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that.
You know, I'm trying to teach myself a new style of knitting, and, you know, it's just not working. So let's go to some news where, oh no, oh no.
Oh,
guess
no,
what, guys?
Again.
We're talking about AI again. Yay.
Whee!
So, reporting from ANN, talent management agency 81 Production and AI software company 11 Labs announced a business partnership where the companies have said that the partnership is for the protection of the voices of voice actors under voice actors who work for 81 Produce from unauthorized third-party generative AI use while allowing 11 Labs to produce authorized AI-synthesized multilingual copies of the voice actors' voices as needed. I don't know. Like, I'm still doubtful about this. Like, yeah.
It's that catch 22 of, especially from the voice actor perspective, we don't want unauthorized third parties taking a voice and obviously making money off it.
What about authorized third parties?
Yes.
I didn't authorize this.
This is their agency saying, yeah, but we're going to make sure you still get your money by having, I guess, legal AI use for this.
Otherwise known as fuck you got mine.
I guess this is you climb up the mountain and this is the horizon you see. Nothing says that, oh yeah, AI is going away. It's clearly not going away. Unless like final regulation happens, doesn't seem like it's happening anytime soon. They lose a lot of money, which we know is happening. We know money is definitely being lost here, but is it enough money? Clearly at this point, not enough.
Not with places like Disney, like propping up these companies by being like, oh yeah, we'll work with you after all.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a very sad state of affairs entertainment wise. Obviously it's been growing this way over the past couple years, and not even just from an AI standpoint, just from a, consumer standpoint of how you're treating consumers and people and fans who want to actually like enjoy pretty much entertainment. It's all about the money. It's always been a thing. It's always been about that. And it only feels like this is also another case here where it's like, okay, we don't want AI making money, but if we authorize it, but then get the cuts of it, then we'll be fine with it. I feel like there's nothing new. It's like, you see this one new thing or this new thing, we just got to jump in. And I think back in the eons, I want to say earlier, like the 90s, 80s, maybe something like that. If it's something new, it might be something worth trying. Because it's like, oh yeah, it's something new. And it should be fine to see what it works. If it works, doesn't work out, it's fine. But I think just so many things just nowadays, especially with AI, it just doesn't work. It's not very good. So yeah, not really much to really add. It's just obviously a case where this is not going to be the first AI story, and we always wonder about moving forward just what's going to happen to most entertainment. It's just concerning. It's just very concerning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I guess from an eek standpoint, not from comparably to the 81 producer standpoint, creative company Creek and River announced that its CNR Creative Studios subsidiary has established a specialized anime team and will be collaborating with Tokyo-based AI animation company Puri Prints to begin producing anime and offering their services to other companies and organizations. If you have never heard of this company before, that's mostly because they mostly work in like videos, video games, CG work, stuff like that. Nothing anime, so they're going to be... So sometime in 2026, we may be seeing something, I guess, with Creek and River in it. Maybe. Maybe it'll be like one of them hidden studios that they'll be working under a production studio, and we won't actually know if they're involved until we look at the credits of an episode of an anime.
Oh no.
Yes, this is the type of detailed work we're all looking to do when watching anime. Just see if it has any AI in the background or anything like that. Just lots of effort.
Every time I see a photo online where I don't immediately know who posted it, I'm like, let me like do a Google reverse image search, find out the provenance, you know. Just... I don't like having to be so suspicious of things when I'm just trying to enjoy, like, entertainment.
Right.
I'm supposed to be, like, being critical of the art itself, not the very foundation of the art. Absolute trash fire of a world we're living in right now. We all need to make it better. And then, concerning potentially in other ways, folks might remember that we've been talking past couple of years that Toho, the studio distributor in Japan, has been purchasing more overseas operations, and the UK-based anime distributor Anime Limited announced that Toho has acquired a 100% equity share in the company from Plyon Pictures. Plyon? I don't know how you pronounce that. Anyway, so Anime Limited is going to become a subsidiary of Toho Global, joining with G-Kids. And so this is going to extend Toho's distribution in Germany, Italy, and other European markets. Obviously, Anime Limited is based in the UK, so they do a lot of stuff there. They also do some stuff in France, which I rediscovered the other day when I was trying to look up the various different Macross Plus releases, since I was trying to find out if getting the one from Crunchyroll on sale was worth it or not. I did go ahead and buy it, because it seems like the French are getting like the super stripped-down cheap version, but no, English fans don't get that. So, Toho is planning to establish a European regional headquarters in London before the end of the year. So, get cracking, everyone. You apparently got to move over to the UK in like a week.
Not everybody, right? It can't be everybody.
I mean, they're going to need to get some people to, you know, move over real fast, you know? This apparently is part of Toho's long-term management strategy of Toho Vision 2032. I guess this means they want to still exist in 2032. But so we will see how they are stacking up against the juggernaut that is currently Sony in another 7-ish years, I guess?
Yeah, it's really going to come down to well, Sony, Netflix, and Amazon at this rate, I think. I still don't want to consider Amazon part of this, but at the same time, they are obviously acquiring more anime over the past, I guess, year now.
Yeah, they've picked back up with trying to make anime happen.
Yeah, just no anime strike. Oh. But yeah, it's obviously a step in that direction, but it's hard to say exactly where Toho's going to go just yet, because obviously they're still working with Crunchyroll and having some of their stuff on the service. If maybe in a couple of years they have Toho has their own streaming service, it might be something to look out for. But at this point, we know that Toho's trying to grow into a bigger type of, trying to be a bigger player in the anime, in the entertainment space, I should also say.
And I'm trying to remember, they're completely unrelated to Remal, right? Who's been making more moves this year as well?
That's separate.
The news is always news, then.
I will just say that because of just how things kind of work, with especially with marketing and everything, who knows, it could be like a thing where they could have like be on the committee of certain one anime or something like that. So it may be out of the possibility that Toho and Rem now are working together. Especially since I believe Shueisha is backed by Rem now, or is backing Rem now. I know Rem now has a few... Well, okay. Shueisha obviously has the Jujutsu Kaisen. I think it's another title that they have, but I believe that's under Toho. So, again, it's a whole bunch of distribution, producing committee, anime committee things that could bring us together, but otherwise mostly separate. But yes, we'll come back to them in due time. Obviously, they'll keep growing, and we'll go from there. I will say this, Helen. I don't think we should talk about anything about Warner Brothers getting acquired
by Netflix. This is true. It's just so much more up in the air. You know, we really need to wait for things to settle and, you know, come down, because it is not nearly so cut and dried as Netflix wanted to make it out to be.
Yeah. Well, okay. But in this case, yeah, we're going to... After... It's funny because I was writing the script, I think, writing the show notes for the last episode. And then as soon as I started doing that, then I saw the news that there was a hostile takeover from Paramount happening.
Hostile takeover bid, to be clear. Takeover has not actually happened yet.
Bid.
So right now, the Warner Brothers C-suite is apparently telling their shareholders not to vote for this one. You know, it's just bullying or something like that. And it's like, fuck you.
So despite that, and it seemingly happening, it was just announced a few days ago that... Warner Bros. Rejected Paramount's hostile takeover bid. So,
But I think that has to go to a shareholders or a stakeholders meeting. I think they have to actually vote on it. Did that happen?
No, I think it happened.
Okay.
The board of let me read this here. The entertainment news source The Hollywood Reporter reported on Wednesday that the board of directors of Warner Brothers Discovery has rejected Paramount's hostile takeover bid for Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah, so, I don't think it's necessarily up to the board just. I think it has to be a bigger voting thing. I think, but I could be misunderstanding. I was also pretty busy this week, guys. I was in the ER for part of Monday, so I was not paying the most attention to the news. To be clear, I am fine. Just
I
woke up looking weird.
I mean, it sounds like it's over. I mean, at this point, let me see. The company was hoping to appeal to the Warner Bros. Discovery shareholders. I think in this case, it's the shareholders.
Yes, and the shareholders and the board of directors, I believe, are two different entities.
Okay, yeah, this is weird. I think the point is, going back to what I was originally saying, at this point, there's going to be too many tossing and turning and flipping, flopping, happening, and nothing really set in stone. So I think at this point, if we cover this news again, it's actually, like, it literally is going to happen at this point. Because, like, yeah, I think when we discuss this again, it's actually, like, the takeover happened. Because there's too many things that could happen between now and whenever this actually could go through in 2026, so there you go.
I did like the Onion's article of Plex puts in $35 bid to buy Warner Brothers, and that then...
And then, what was it? Tubi.
Tubi. the social media account for Tubi on Twitter quote tweeted that saying, make it 36.
the rights hell. Look at the money. Look at how much everybody's spending in this entertainment industry. Look at this. Mm-hmm.
I talked about this one last time, so I think you need to talk about it this time. About, Crunchyroll is,
Yeah, you brought this up.
No longer free.
Yeah, you had brought this up. I had no idea what you were talking about at the time. Because I think you can only see it because it was only on the free. If you were watching free with the ads, that's the only way you could have seen this. So, yes, doing like it's...
Yeah, I think it was that people on Blue Sky had started compiling or, like, comparing notes and realized this was happening before A&M putting out an article.
Okay. But yes, it was during like an advertisement during their own like free streams that Crunch was going to halt free ad supported streaming, basically at the end of the year. So January 1st, no more ad supported streaming service. So you can't watch anything free. You have to literally sign up for the service. My guess, I'm being honest with you, Helen, I am surprised they're doing it now, mostly because they feel like they've changed so many things over the past year or so. Where it was kind of like, okay.
Clearly, this will be the move to get us more subscribers.
Yeah. Like, that's not a surprise. They're just, again, joining pretty much, as far as I know, all the other streaming services for the most part, especially anime streaming, where you just have to have a subscription to actually watch things. Unfortunately, Crunchyroll is now joining that list. But I think it's not a surprise. But yeah, it's just a little unfortunate. So yeah, that's just how the anime industry is nowadays.
And then we've got a couple of hiatuses and such to report on. Amitsu's Gazing at the Star Next Door is on hiatus until spring. That one is, I think, licensed by Kodansha. It's definitely on K-Manga. And there's another one, I See Your Face Turned Away. The manga went on hiatus in September 2024 due to production reasons, and the most recent issue of Kodansha's Besatsu Friend magazine, the January 2026 issue, announced that it will return for its final chapter in the next issue on January 13th. So it had like one or two chapters coming back from this hiatus, and then it's going to end. So I would speculate here that there must... Whatever the production issues were, they must be ongoing. It must be like mangaka has other life responsibilities, mangaka is sick, etc., and that they're just choosing to just end it now instead of going on. That is my guess, since this is kind of odd.
Kind of weird to call it production issues, though. I guess, in a sense,
your health... I mean, if the person who's supposed to be making it is sick, you could call that a production issue if you wanted to be like really discreet about it.
I guess. I feel like that's kind of...
Production issue in general feels like a weird thing to cite for a manga going on hiatus, so.
Yeah, I that's what I'm like. I think if, I mean, I guess you want to keep privacy and everything, but for the most part, as we've been covering these hiatus and everything, they're pretty forthright about their health. So, I mean.
But that might also be just up to the discretion of the authors, you know, how forthright they want to be.
Okay. Not sure. I'm feeling it was a health thing. It could have actually just been, like, the loss of, like, they lost, like, too many assistants during this period.
Yeah, but they weren't able to get enough assistants back in, like, 14 months? Like...
Has it been 14 months? September 24? Yeah, I guess it was about 14, right?
Yeah, that's what's making me think so. If it was just from September, I'd be more willing to think it's kind of a general life issue, but this long seems like something happened, they tried to correct it, and it's not getting corrected, so they've chosen to end, which is what's making me think medical issue.
Okay,
but again, I'm speculating.
Now you make me think, because of how you said that, could they have just, now I guess I'm speculating, did they maybe lose something during the process when it was creating like their works, and creating the work and everything?
Are you suggesting that they like lost all the digital files?
Maybe.
I feel like there should be backups somewhere between Kodansha and the creator. Like,
again, we're just speculating. We don't really know. It's just that.
Worst
again,
comes to worst. Go ask Tokyopop how they used to like nuke books in the microwave back in the day to like scan them for their releases. You know,
going way back now. That's the way back machine here.
To be clear, you want a dedicated microwave for this. You do not want to be putting putting your food in the book nuking microwave.
And then kind of a bit of hiatuses. Bochi's the Marshall King is now going to be on hiatus, so not sure when it's coming back, but at some point the magazine's going to announce when it will return. And I think that's a wrap on hiatuses. Helen,
you could call an anime making a new season a return from a hiatus.
Maybe. I guess if you want to frame it that way. but yes, I think either a few episodes ago we had talked about Yonder the Dawn ending, and we kind of had to shout out Mitsuo Kusanagi because that was here very long. It was definitely a very successful shoujo series, and it was finally going to end at this point. But now it's not quite over, at least. I guess franchise-wise, the manga is definitely done, at least for now. Maybe it'll be like a side story or something like that, but the anime is back after a million years.
Yeah, because people are like, wait, when was the last season? That was 2014. and it sounds like they do intend for this to be a sequel, not like a reboot or anything, just, you know, so everyone's got time now because it's coming back at sometime in 2026, and I, for one, am thrilled. I still like Yone of the Dawn, but that's a strange move. Curious how much of the manga they'll adapt? I saw one or two people saying, oh, maybe they'll adapt the whole thing, but no, there's still, like, another, like, 30 volumes the first anime didn't adapt. The first anime adapted, like, the first 6 or 7 volumes, and this ended in the 40s.
Helen, there are two things this can go, really.
Well, or poorly. No.
Yes, well, okay. I guess that does simplify. You're right. You're not wrong. But yeah, so you're going to pull off... we had this production for like years and years, so we're going to actually literally finish the series in like a couple years. So it's going to be like a continuous, pretty much year-round until we get to the ending.
I mean, that's not usually... If they're staying with Studio Pierrot, who did the first season, that's not usually how they work. Although, who knows?
I guess it depends on the production line, really, like, and how they schedule.
Maybe we can look at, has Studio Pierrot been doing a lot lately? Have they been oddly quiet, maybe?
yeah, I know they have Black Clover, they do Black Clover, right? And then Bleach?
Black Clover hasn't aired in years, I thought.
Right, but it'll have a new season next year.
Huh.
They're back next year. But no, Bleach is coming back, too, next year, too. But okay, anyways, so I know... distract or delay. They're gonna actually either take their time, and it's gonna be like literally airing pretty much till 2027, or okay, I say let's say it starts late 2026, it'll end in like reasonably be what 2029 or something like that. They'll literally be like every year or something like that, or they'll pull off the Promised Neverland.
Ooh, let's not speak of that one.
We do not want to do that. do not bring this, after all these years, do not bring this back, only to pull a Promised Neverland. Just
to be clear, the second season of the Promised Neverland did not came after not a very long break after the first season. That one wasn't, like, long-awaited or anything. It was just bad.
Bad, and they had to skip so many things.
It was bad because they were like, okay, we want to take the entire rest of this and fit it into one core, which means we're going to have to cut out so many characters, which means a number of arcs and, you know, like, actual character and world development. But then we were going to kind of squash it back in like, a 30-second montage at the end of the last episode.
Good logic, anime production. Good job, script writers. Good job, everybody.
I mean, it was already going to be bad. And then, like the montage at the very end, it was like, why did you make that choice, though? Anyway. But yes, we will be talking about anime productions later on this episode. Don't you worry, folks.
Yes, it's somehow weirder than this. It's somehow weirder than this, actually.
But our last bit of news is that the talent agency Arts Vision announced on Monday that voice actor Tomomichi Nishimura died on November 29th at the age of 79. He is best known for voicing the coach in the slam dunk anime, Mitsuyoshi Anzai, and then Vega, M. Bison in English, and Goki, Akuma in English, I guess, in various Street Fighter games, and a number of villains in the Precure franchise.
Yeah, I added that in because I saw in the forums that he was... Obviously, he's a longtime veteran voice actor, so he's been a number of things, but he was... They didn't know in the forums that he was actually he voiced a couple villains in the Precure series.
That's kind of funny. I feel like for Precure, for their main characters, they tried to get different voice actors each time. So I assumed the same was true for villains. But I guess if you got someone who could do a really good villain voice, you might just want to keep inviting them back.
Well, but then it was pointed also in the forums, and I looked on the credits. He did play like a side character, Old Man, in the first episode of You and I Are Precure. And this happened earlier this year. But unfortunately, that was in... the agency announced he wasn't feeling well, so his health took a turn around September, and that's when he had it was a minor role, so the anime didn't come back, but unfortunate, that was his possible last role. I can't obviously speak if that was his last role, but yeah, just obviously a number of creators sent their condolences on social media. Obviously somebody that was well respected within the voice acting industry, so just really a tough loss for sure. So send my condolences to his friends and family. Okay, gonna transition over to the licenses, which, you know, Helen, I thought we were kind of done-ish with the licenses. Thinking, you know, it's kind of the...
It's always a fool's errand to think that we are done with licenses. The companies hunger for content.
I guess they do. So,
Merry Capitalness. Capitalismus.
Yenpress says Merry Christmas. Here are their licenses this time.
That is, in fact, what you put in the script, yes.
Chika Tojo's Mobile Suit Gundam, The Witch from Mercury, Venata's Heart, Emma Okadachi Otorienko, Kusaka's A Timid Lady, was turned into an ugly cat, but on the verge of fainting, is picked up by the most fearsome near the Tully Duke. Again, say that five times fast. Good luck.
Oh, you're not on Blue Sky, so you didn't see my commentary on that title. Okay, I'll put it at the end.
Chitose Kato's Thank You for Taking Care of Our Boy Banri. Yuya Sakamoto's The Daughter of the Demon Lord is Too Kind. Rocket Shokai, Natsumi Inoue, Gakuto Koda, and Mephisto's Sentenced to Be a Hero. This is the manga. I'm pretty sure Kadokawa's kind of releasing this on chapters as well on various digital services, but now Yenpress is going to do their own little translation and put that in physical volumes, and also, I guess, release it on digital platforms and compiled version. And then also the note, Yenpress is also publishing the light novel. Toshiya Miyata's Melody of the Boundary. They're going to release Honda's Skull Face Books, Bookseller Honda Science Complete Omnibus. Definitely looking forward to getting that. The Konosuba God's Blessing on This Wonderful World, TRPG Advanced Rulebook, Tabletop Companion Book. And we're going to have two more audiobooks for the Yen audio line. Asato Sato's 86 Ultra 1, The Reaper's Occasional Adolescence, and Akumi Akitogi's Togi's Deep Bubble Love of the Mermaid. Kind of early for, I think, Deep Bubble Love of the Mermaid. I don't think the light line was even out yet.
Oh, wow. My comment on the Ugly Cat one was that I looked at the image for it and I was like, huh, that's not what I remember. Since I remembered having come across and read a bit of one about a character getting turned into an ugly cat, I was like, this character isn't ugly enough. Then I realized, oh no, there are at least two manga out there about non-isekai ladies getting turned into ugly cats and then getting picked up by the male lead. So I was like, yes, I have read both of them. or I've read at least two of them. And someone on Blue Sky was like, oh yeah, there's one kind of in reverse, you know, the cat turning into a person. I'm like, oh yeah, I've read that too. The cat meddling with the plot, J Novel Club one. Yeah. that's... Although Lucille in that one is very decidedly not an ugly cat. She is very explicitly described as a very pretty cat.
Very pretty. Too pretty. Everybody loved her. Everybody.
Yeah. And then I'm also noticing here on this list that two of these titles, Demon Lord is Too Kind and Sentenced to Be a Hero, have anime coming out in January. So that's very good timing.
I didn't know about the Daughter of the Demon Lord.
I think so, because I'm pretty sure I was looking at Crunchyroll's lineup like last night, and I'm pretty sure that one was on there. Because the poster image for it like seemed kind of odd for the title. Anyway, you can double check me on that while I'm reading off the Tokyopop.
It's fine.
Tokyopop also apparently says Merry Christmas, whereas just put in the script, Tokyopop says Merry Christmas, I guess. They have license. Kojimo's Kyo Aizawa doesn't laugh. Akiko Kawa's The Villainess's Bride. Yuri? Toko Amekawa, Sora Goto, and Meiji Anno's Reincarnated in a Mafia Dating Sim. This is the light novel, since they are already publishing the manga. I did not realize that Tokyopop was doing light novels again. And I will say this one... this one's also got an anime announcement recently, but it's not coming out for a little bit. Which I found out because I was doing some of the Crunchyroll quizzes late last night, including, like, the trivia ones.
Okay.
They are also going to be releasing Nanai Chrono's Vassalord as 2-in-1 omnibus paperback and hardcover editions. And they are going to be re-releasing Misaki and Moichi's A Gentle Noble's Vacation Recommendation in 3-in-1 omnibus volumes. And that one also has an anime coming out in January, so everyone is just trying to be real topical here at the end of the year.
You say real topical, but I don't think this, I think Jones Noble's Vacation is not coming out till like later in like spring 2026.
I think that one is also coming out in January. Hang on, because I think I also saw that on the Crunchyroll one.
No, the omnibus. I'm just speaking to. I feel like I've seen the.
I mean, yeah, but people are making the announcements now. You know, like asking these companies to make announcements long enough in advance to make sure they had things on the shelves in time. That's just a fool's errand, you know.
But hell, they already have the single volumes out. So I mean, do they really need an omnibus? This omnibus will sell like hotcakes.
I mean, I guess it's selling well. We just need to like go into Edelweiss and see if they've actually published any numbers.
That's going to go to Edelweiss. I'll do that. Excuse me.
Justin's like, yes, I will do that, actually.
No, I'm not going to do that. Excuse me. Gotta get my voice ready for this one. Seven Seas also! Helen, Seven Seas also says Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all the filthy animals.
I'm assuming they are saying that because they, of the companies we've mentioned so far, they are the ones of like the explicit lines.
No, I just put them in there because this was their last one for Wednesdays of the year.
Yeah, it's true. None of these are under their ghost ship imprint. Everything here is more wholesome.
So, their final analysis for the year is Akari Tsuji Hashi's Flirting with My Bear-like Boyfriend. Okay, actually, I could be wrong, but I think Flirting with My Bear-like Boyfriend is a steamship title, I think. Somebody's gonna, I'm going to correct myself soon enough, aren't I? Ira Yao and Umashi's Slime Saint, Sasami Ditori's Wonder Cats, Natsui, Chiyomi, and Daichi Masusi's I Wish I Could Meet You Again on the Hill Where That Flower Blooms. This is the manga version. They already, already publishing Light Novel. I'm not sure the Light Novel is actually out yet. But the point
they
is they do have it.
Already licensed.
Yeah, it has licensed. So I can't remember if they published, but they have it. A. Tozaki's Follow That Kiss. And Tsukamu Yoriwake's Nemu, the Corpse Bearer.
Yeah, I've read some of that one as well, and it's not saccharine, but definitely meant to tug on your heartstrings a little bit. And Slime Saint is a lot of fun. Like, if anyone has ever read, like, the manga for Tear Moon Empire, you know that Princess Mia makes a lot of good faces. There are even more good faces in Slime Saint than that. They're like, Princess Mia level, but more frequent.
Yeah. And yes, I was right. Bear Like a Boyfriend is a steamship title. So, oops, there goes the one, I guess, raunchy, steamy
title. Filthy Animals was appropriate then. Titan Manga is apparently not saying Merry Christmas, according to Justin's script at least, but they did have a lot of exclusive manga announcements on ANN. Yokusaru Shibata's Tojime Wants to Be a Kamen Rider, which is airing right now and will continue airing into January. Yunugi's School for Wizards Old Enough to Learn Magic. Paneguma's The Assassin Laughs at Twilight. Sakyu Totori's Have Fun, It's the End of the World. And Rarutori Clivis and Ko Narita's High Elf with a Long Life. This is the manga version, since J-Novel Club is putting out the light novel, but they're putting out the light novel under the name Enough of the Slow Life, I Was Reincarnated as a High Elf and Now I'm Bored. Which is definitely a more memorable title, at least. And they've also licensed Mizunomoto's When I Was Reincarnated in Another World, I Was a Heroine and He Was a Hero. And also, It's a Little Hard to Be a Villainess of an Otome Game in Modern Society, which is going to be the manga version of it, since Seven Seas has licensed the light novel for it, and they've also given it a different title. For the Seven Seas light novel, it is licensed under the title Modern Villainess, It's Not Easy Building a Corporate Empire Before the Crash, which again is a lot catchier, a lot more interesting. Justin put in the script what the Japanese title is, Gendai Shakai de Otome Game no Akuyako Reijo o Suru no wa Chotto Taihan. So, Titan's title is much more literal, just less interesting. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. It's more literal. It's always interesting when you get these type of, okay, we don't want to quite say the same title for whatever reason, or for various reasons, like who knows what the story behind this was. But yes, we're going to go with this particular literal title. Maybe this will work out better for us. Always interesting, because there's something similar happened with Yenpress and Cross Infernal World with one of the I'm a Witch. It's a little subtle, but it's not the same. But I lighten up with manga for that. So yeah, very, very interesting just to have this comparison.
I think I do like the light novel titles better in both cases, though. Like, you might call them a little cringy, but they actually do give a better summary of what it's about, or at least they grab your attention more.
And you know what's funny? I think personally, just having that little stop where I say modern villainess, it's not easy building a corporate empire before the class. Before the crash. It was a type of manga. It's just, it's a little hard to be a villainess of an Otome game in modern society. It feels like since I have to keep going, I'm like, doesn't roll.
Yeah, it feels like it's a little easier just to shorthand it as modern villainess.
So it's always, again, always just this little... It's stuff like that that kind of, like, gets me going a little bit.
It's the little things in life. Like how many characters it takes to fit a title into a tweet.
Oh, God. The horror. You're making me think back to the times when Twitter was not, 200-something characters. Oh, my God.
When it was, like, 180, and you were trying to fit in the level 999 abandoned in a dungeon one.
I think that was, was that before?
Was that after the increase to Tujan?
I want to say it was before, but I know it for sure. It was sometimes it was just like, okay, screw you, screw you, screw you, and also screw you. Because it was like, no, what do I do here?
Justin's complaining in my DMs about Japanese publishers making titles too long.
and even now, I was just like, I have to like make threads and just like, ugh, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. One Piece Books announced exclusively behind the manga that they've licensed the following three manga. Senya Mihagi, Jaguchi, and Satopote's Lockdown Life with the Class Beauty, Teika, Waka Sonata, and Hamu's The Liquid Girl Beside Me Suddenly Dyed Her Black, and Terra Hayate Asakura, and Teita's The Villainess Who Came to Marry Into the Frontier Noble's Household is an exceptionally capable wife, isn't she?
She must be an isekai lady.
have to check that. I didn't check that. I did not check that. But the point is, I think these are all planned for, I believe, the fall 2026 window. Still look out for these titles there. And I guess to... Actually, I think you're going to have to end the last couple licenses here.
Yeah, so Hanashi Media licenses I Save Myself with a Potion, Life in Another World light novel series. I did not remember this was a publisher that existed. And when I first saw this title, I also mixed it up with that one on J-Novel Club. About
a potion one. Yeah. Look, and, wait, hold up. Hella, the only thing you need to remember about Hanashi is they're the Tsukimichi Alphapolis publisher for light novels. There you go.
Oh, right. Okay. The ones who don't really do much. Okay. And then Viz has added Inoue's hashtag GalXGal Yuri Manga as a simulpub on their website. So they now have the first 11 chapters up. I know what I'll be doing after this podcast. Instead of exercising, like I should, I will go off and be checking that out.
It's not bad. I actually read a little bit of it. It's not bad. I think you might for me at least, I took a while to get warmed up to all the characters, but after the first chapter, I actually enjoyed it a lot. I think it's pretty good. All right, Hella, it's time for streaming news. Time to spend 10 more minutes talking about Detective Conan. It's going to be fantastic.
God damn it, Justin. I know you're the one editing this, but still.
Okay, so the second part of the Rivals of the Great Detective Conan. Actually, I think I messed up the title for that. I don't think it's exactly that. But anyways, more rivals and friends of Mr. Little Man is going to be on Crunchyroll on New Year's Day, January 1st.
Mr. Little Man.
It's funny, the English dub voice actor Molly Zong, every time like they have these collections now, she posts like these really low quality images of Conan in like this gremlin little state. it's very hilarious, just every time. Just like that one screen grab, low quality screen grab. It's just so hilarious. Hey, this collection finally dropped. Here's Conan in all of his little gremlin-less glory. Yeah, it's so funny. But yes, looking forward to what they decide to pick this time. Kind of hoping they have more new stuff this time. Obviously, nothing old this time. It was fine for the collection one to do it, but then collection two should have a big more of a mix of newer stuff that's never released before. Would they actually go further into it by releasing one really new character, Sarah, as one example? I don't know if they'll do that far, but we'll see. they're also going to have the, obviously, Conan Cinema Saturdays is ongoing, but it's going to finally end January 3rd. It has already been going on, so we have the following films. Instead of Conan, Captured in Her Eyes. Amazing film. Actually, one of my favorite, I think, Conan... Of this whole entire Simmons run, one of my favorites for sure. The only problem is CMS uploaded it without adding. They forgot to add the after credits.
So is there like a scene after the credits? You mean?
There no. So it was after credits, but it's funny because the credits were going on, and it just stopped. The whole chat was just like, "What the heck just happened here? TMS, what happened?" And then there was complaints in the comments, complaints on Twitter. I even threw in my complaints. It's like, guys, how did you upload this and not realize the ending credits? The credits were cut off, and that meant that the ending credits were not on. The ending was not on there.
Justin really wanted to watch and make sure that none of those production companies that do AI, you know, had snuck into the credits somehow.
But they, at one point, they did re-upload it though, so it actually does have it did have the ending. So it's good on them. Just like, you know, how to mess up the first time. Aren't you guys editing this or create? Oh, clearly not. They still have to kind of.
I was gonna say, like,
so for somebody, they don't have the really good subs, so it's like, whatever. Thinking of the ones that didn't have really good subs, Strategy About the Deaths, which aired yesterday, had the meh subs. I call them meh. They're not bad, but they can be way better. Like, it gets the point across, but it's just like, come on. We're really just doing this. Like, come on. And then the final Detective Conan film for this year, Black Iron Submarine, that's going to air December 27th. As a reminder, this aired at Anime Expo subbed and at Anime Sneak Dub this year. So, it's good to get a kind of a later movie on here. 2023 is when Black Iron Submarine came out. And to finally wrap up Conan Cinema Saturdays, the first film Time Bomb Skyscraper will be the last to end it. Obviously, not going to do a one-eye flashback. That's just... it came out this year. There's no way. It's just not going to do that. So, yeah. What a journey. Obviously, many ups and downs. But sore related for me. Definitely was good to have to every Saturday. My guaranteed, okay, I'm going to watch some sort of Conan film. Unless I went out with friends or anything like that. I think I only did that once or twice. Maybe once where I really missed it. But otherwise, definitely sorely needed for my case, for sure.
And then our final bit of streaming news. G-Kids is putting out a physical release of Colorful Stage, a Miku Who Can't Sing anime film. It's out digitally now, and it's going to be released physically on April 14th as a collector's edition. Ooh.
Also, I have a final streaming news to also report instead. We got another random official streaming service streaming anime for some reason. And in this case, they're airing the random dub of Magic Kaito 1412.
Wait, you're not done talking about Conan yet? I thought you were done talking about Conan.
let's not get it twisted. You have Conan, you have Yaiba.
I don't care. It's all Conan. Magic
Kaito.
It's all Conan.
They're definitely separate.
It's the Conan cinematic universe.
Not even. Maybe Magic Kid shows up once the Blue Moon franchise of the Detective Conan. Otherwise, he has his own manga series, his own anime series. Boom. But no, for real. Like, no idea where this dub came from. I was just trying to look up a little bit online, apparently, and a little in the anime forums. There's speculation of when this dub was produced. Could have been a couple years ago. Could have been 2014. Could have been 2017. The point is, somebody produced it, and now it's getting released. Just hilarious. And just, why is on this animation service? Why? Crunchyroll, what are you doing? Excuse me. Just to point out, Crunchyroll is streaming the sub of Magic Kaito 1412, so it's like, what is happening here? Are you guys getting the dub for this? I'm going to guess at this point, probably not. But yeah, that's the final bit of streaming news I got for you.
Okay, then it's time for weird news, where, yeah, it's weird this time. So, Manga Gamer announced that it's recalling most of its recent print-run USB hard copies of Higurashi, When They Cry, Ho, and Ho Plus. I guess these are two different versions. A remastered collection of the original sound novel's final three arcs. Due to it being affected by a supply chain malware hack, apparently some of the USBs may have been sold, or the USBs it was put on might have malware on them as well. The company approximates that it sold 64 to 67 copies of the affected game, so not a nice number, and so affected character players can contact the company's customer support, and they said that players can identify if their game is affected by the malware, as compromised copies have an installer that is 268.42 megabytes in size, but uncompromised copies have an installer that is only 267.69 megabytes in size. And so only the Windows installers have been compromised, so the company is recommending a full system scan of Windows Defender or antivirus software. I don't recall this happening before. Justin thinks it might have happened before to something, but that's still wild.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not in the video games, and in this case, it's a visual novel, so I wouldn't know the particular.
I meant like in this sphere of things. Like, I'm sure in the past people have gotten USBs, which, surprise, malware.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate that this happened to something that you're physically buying, because it's like, what happened? Like,
that's how Stuxnet happened, so.
Right.
Which, if folks don't recognize the name, that's the time the U.S. military did, like, a secret ops campaign with compromised USB sticks to like slow down the turbines in Iranian nuclear facilities. And that's why if you ever get free USBs at like conferences and stuff like that, you should be very cautious about using them. You should like nuke them first. Not the microwave kind of nuking, like the software kind of nuking.
we somehow got back to microwaving again. How do we do this?
I'm very talented like that. Thank you very much.
incredible. this is just really just wrapping things up, even though it's like we've kind of known this forever, like years we've known. But yeah, it's over. No, over for real. Gainax has been formally dissolved after the bankruptcy concludes, so anime director Hideki Anno announced on the Studio Kara website that the Studio Gainax bankruptcy proceedings have concluded, and that Gainax has officially and legally been dissolved. It happened as of Thursday, December 10th. So all the rights to Gainax's works, deliverables, and products have been legally transferred to the rightful owners and the creators of those works. So yeah, it's just obviously if you've grown up with Gainax and what they produced over those years, especially for me in the 90s, it's obviously sad news. But just in the case of, yeah, just a once notable and known studio that produced a lot of really enjoyable works back in the heyday, but yeah, most of the talent, if not all the talent, has actually moved on. So again, unfortunate, but yes, kind of expected, really.
This is definitely weird. I didn't see this coming. So the Naruto franchise gets a Konoha Land theme park in France in 2026. It's going to be a part of the Parc Sapiro Provenance theme park in, again, 2026. Apparently, it is going to feature at least two rides that they have announced, QB Unchained, which is a roller coaster, and the Rasengan Chakra Rotation, which looks kind of like a super demented Ferris wheel, honestly. Not my kind of ride. The park is also going to feature a Konoha Gate, Chunin Exam Grounds, 10 life-size character statues, an Ichiraku Ramen and Dango Shop, Hokage Monument, Hokage Office, and, quote, Team Kakashi's Nostalgic Training Area.
Just crazy, Helen. That's just like, I mean, obviously also, but that's still just like, back in, what, 1997, 90, whenever Masashi Kishimoto created this, like, oh yeah, I'm just creating a nice manga. It's going to be at least hopefully solid that will survive in Shonen Jump. Now it has a park. It's just like, what the heck? That's just crazy.
Yeah, the Chunin Exam Grounds reminds me of how, like, occasionally around here people will host, like, real life Hunter, like, Hunter licensing exams. Yeah. as like, multidisciplinary obstacle courses. So that's the first thing I thought of.
Time to find the latest Trill Burgers in your area. Unfortunately, it's just Houston-based, so you can't really...
I was going to say, I've never heard of this one before.
So yes, so the award-winning Houston-based smash burger chain Trill Burgers announced a collaboration with Spy Family. So now you can find the Spy Family burger, which I have to point out exactly how the actual what's in the food. What is it? So it's a double patty with American cheese, two pickles, sour cream, and covered by a bed of beef stew. And it's also covered on top with a sunny side egg. Yummy? I'm not sure I can do
that. That is a lot in one burger. Like,
I'm not sure I can do with the pickles, but I mean,
he said no pickles.
No, two pickles.
He said only one pickle.
It's two pickles. But no, I can eat the pickles. Just for now. But yes, if you're in the following area, Shepherd, or Houston. Let's see, you have two locations, Shepherd and Louetta. So it's, I guess, Houston, Texas, and Spring, Texas. So if you're in those areas, you can go get the Spy Family Burger.
Let us know how the beef stew is.
Yeah, especially let us know how that sandwich tastes. And yeah, Helen, it's still like, wow, what a... I mean, the anime manga industry just really just growing, ain't it? Just really growing in some good ways. And when you think about it, like, is it going in the right way?
I mean, we didn't even mention that apparently, what was it, like, the Dallas Chargers or something had an anime-themed night recently for Solo Leveling.
It hasn't happened yet, but you're right.
No, I'm pretty sure it was supposed to happen on the 18th.
No, I think it's not happening. I don't think it's happening yet.
Hang on, I sent this to you so I can look at this.
I am also searching it right now.
Yeah, it's December 18th. It already happened. Dallas Mavericks to host Solo Leveling anime night with themed jerseys. Crunchyroll presents a special event on December 18th.
Okay, that's because of the... Oh, because you sent me... Okay, I think you sent.
I sent you the Crunchyroll link, and that is the headline for the Crunchyroll link.
Right, because you know I thought because it was recent, but this was actually the article was like December 5th. So I got confused. I thought it was actually something later on, but I feel like I saw that tweet like not. Oh, okay, maybe I saw it early in the week because I did see it on Twitter. So that's why. So I guess yeah. Okay, clearly I was not paying that much attention to that. But yes, we're in crazy times hell, and we got football social media accounts referencing all sorts of anime and manga. I didn't send this to you, but I think the Texans they had like a what was it, streak note? It's like the reference is Death Note. They
just had the streak. Oh, I think I heard about that. Yeah,
they have that. Obviously, the Seahawks have been going ham. Pretty much all their wins, they would just note. They would just kind of have an anime reference, so it's just crazy times, though. Just crazy times.
Yeah, yeah. Also, of all things, why solo leveling? Like, don't get me wrong, folks. I read a couple of manhwa that are, like, questionable quality that are basically beat-em-up fighting manga. Beating-up fighting comics. And I enjoy them, but I'm not out here acting like they are, like, so good that, like, people just don't understand them the way that some people get up about solo leveling and having, like, themed nights. Although, God so help me, Eliseed is getting an anime, so I'm going to have to deal with people suddenly talking about it like that. To be clear, my enjoyment of Eliseed is at least 50% of the fact that one of the characters spends most of the time as a fat orange cat. That is part of the reason why I enjoy that one, so. Does solo leveling have a fat orange character? I don't think so.
No, they just have one guy who solos everything and levels up.
See, needs a fat orange cat. All right, and so I sent this to Justin probably at like 1 in the morning, being like, what? So, Siren, the manga that ended in 2010, is getting an anime next year? So, there were some rumors about this earlier in the year since Rimao had announced back in the summer, in like this total licensing summer 2025 issue, that it was co-producing a high-profile project with Shueisha, noting that it was, quote, adapting a beloved series from Weekly Shonen Jump that ended 15 years ago and still ranks among the top fan-requested titles for animation. So even back in the day, so even back when this came out, people were looking at dates going, maybe Siren, but yeah, it's happening, which is very wild. I read the whole thing back in the day because someone back then was saying, oh yeah, this is going to be the next big thing to get an anime, and obviously it didn't, but I still read the whole thing, and I enjoyed it, but if I recall correctly, the first arc feels kind of different from the rest of the arcs, and I definitely remember it, it didn't get canceled, but they definitely told the mangaka, you need to finish this up now or it will get canceled, and like lit a fire under their ass, since the pacing of the last few chapters is so much faster compared to everything else, but they completed the story in time, it did not leave off on a cliffhanger or anything. So I have a lot of questions about how this anime production is going to turn out, but we shall just have to wait and see. So yeah, Yona the Dawn was not the oldest suddenly getting a... Yona the Dawn is suddenly getting a sequel after many years. This is suddenly getting an anime after many years. So I told you guys we were going to keep talking about this in the episode.
and you know what, Helen? We're going to keep talking about random manga getting an anime after eons and eons.
I didn't even know about this other one until I was looking through the script.
I had to go and reply back to Helen. Like, we went through line. She said some line. I had to reply back to that with her same comment. Because, like, Iron Walk John, of all things, is getting an anime. So just to point out, the manga for this ran in Akita Shonen's Weekly Shonen Champion magazine. It started in 1995.
I was in preschool.
95, forget Sire, whatever. So 1995 for this,
and it finished in
2000.
Okay, yeah, it was released in the U.S. going up to 2007, which is when Siren started. So like, this one was already done before Siren even started.
So it's like, and then, first of all, it's way. I don't know how they're gonna do it. From what I remember, Excuse me, your background is Siren. My background, I Walk John, I think I just picked up a copy. I think it's been a long time, but I either read it at what, like the convention manga library or something like that. It's been so long. But I picked it up there was this chef dude just doing crazy things with some of his tools and how he was cooking some of the food. They were just the head chef. You have a guy and a woman. They were just calling each other so many awful names to each other. And he got it's just all these characters are just crazy. They're just all psychos, and I loved it. So every time I go to like convention and everything, I'll just pick up a manga volume while I was just reading it. They didn't actually at the back in the day, they didn't really like. I don't think the retailers really chided you on like how long you read it or something like that. But I was reading.
Oh, so Justin was being a manga cow.
So I was just, it was like, oh god, this is just so fun. But I didn't pull the trigger because I didn't have money at the time to really go and just spend all a bunch of it. And obviously, by the time I was getting into it, there weren't a lot of copies of it. Obviously, Dr. Master, obviously, comics, but they don't exist
Dr.
anymore.
Dr. Master?
So they don't exist anymore. So it's like, good luck finding any copies of that. But I've always kind of wondered, especially back in like when I was reading it, I was kind of wondering if some company would just like bring it back. Hell, there's a chance it could come back now. Let's go. Let's go. Somebody please bite the bullet on his 27 volume series. Do it.
Yeah, and when I read Siren, it was completely scandalous since it hadn't been picked up by anyone. But Siren at least is on like the Shonen or the Viz apps. I don't know. Viz, no, I don't. Probably, I think it's the weekly Shonen Jump app.
It should be Shonen Jump. And I wouldn't be surprised if now at the end it's coming out, Viz is going to reprint the manga volumes for that too. So
I mean, hell, I might go back and like reread something on the app, you know, remind myself what's going on.
I love that you could do that, but I can't do that with Iron Walk John. Because nobody.
I mean, Justin, you could find. I'm sure there's scanlations for it out there. You could find it if you wanted to.
If I want to go back and read scans, that's if I want to do that. I think you'll find that.
I mean, you know, I bet you could probably check online on eBay and see if anyone's selling the volumes for like decent prices.
You say that, but now it has a chance of getting licensed again. So I think I'm going to hold off. This is I think I'd rather hold off at this point. But yeah, this is I was telling Helen because like we're in this state of the anime industry where obviously working conditions are just not very great, but we're just getting so many anime produced. But at the same time, it's like, what anime, if we're not doing like anime original stuff, what are we gonna bring out next? And I guess now
people are diving like deep into the back catalogs at this point.
Deep, really deep. And then I think it was announced there's gonna be a new Kochikami anime coming out sometime in the near future. Obviously, yeah, Rem now kind of bringing that back a little bit.
I was gonna say series. Like their streams of the old one are gonna be relevant then.
So it's just like we're in this time where stuff that you thought was not getting an anime or couldn't get an anime back in the day are now getting anime. So it's like, start dreaming big. No, for real. Give me 20th Century Boys. Just do it.
Give me Boku no Kiseki. Give me my white whales.
It's like, I feel like you can't really, like, it feels like, and then we'll go back to Yona too, like, Yona getting a sequel after all these years, like, let your dreams be dreams at this point. Like, I can't really say it's impossible, because depending on, like, whoever the studio is, if you have, like, enough people that are passionate about it, or just like, hey, we need money. Unfortunately, from a business perspective, we just want something that's just out there. But let's bring this back. At this point, start dreaming. I think it's possible now. Whatever you got in 2026, 2027, just start dreaming. There you go.
I think my biggest dreams are probably manga related, though. Like a digital version of 20th Century Boys. But I don't know if we're dreaming that wild yet.
All right. I think this is episode. I will say that we have a programming note. The next episode of this episode. All right, we're going to have back-to-back recordings. So we're going to have another episode next week. Not sure when exactly next week. Maybe New Year's Eve. But maybe just the same Tuesday. But we will see. But the point is, we're going back-to-back here. Let's go.
Yeah, since we were like, you know, let's give it a one more week for a few more fall anime things to wrap up. And also because we know that'll make a long episode in and of itself.
And then also because we're going to take our usual podcast break. So do we wait till next year? Or do we wait till just wrap up this year with a year of weirdness and really depressing stuff happening? So let's just
get it. Yeah, so next time it's going to be, I mean, there could still be news next time, but it's going to be primarily fall anime and weirdest news of the year, which in and of itself, it's going to take a while.
So where can we find you, Helen?
You can find me when I am staying up too late reading things. You can also find me popping in over on Blue Sky at Wandering Dreamer, and you can find the other podcast I co-host at Manga in Your Ears, or rather, that is the name of the podcast on Blue Sky. We are under Taiku Podcast, that is TAIIKU Podcast, and also the name of the website. But we are on break right now because we take December off, and then we'll be back in January talking about, I know we already made our choices about what we're talking about. we did our best of episode, and then that typically ends up just, like, suggesting for us what we should be watching reading next time. Okay, yeah, next time we're doing Frau Faust and Smoking Behind the Supermarket with You. Two very unrelated titles, but we're rolling with it.
You can still find me on Twitter at Kamino Tsunomi. Again, more Three Houses stuff. Not much else after that, really. Obviously, you can check out the Yoshi Conference Futures. You may see one particular post if I can finally get the motivation to watch and then write up about it. So maybe it'll happen this week. We shall see. And now, obviously, you can check out the Twitter account or the social media accounts, Twitter, Mastodon, and Blue Sky, for any pre-order news and any regular news that I stumble upon. You can check out the Yoshi Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and ask any artists that we have. If we do leave a rating and review, always good. So, Merry Christmas. See y'all next week.
Bye.